right, all right, all right. It's Bible time. It's time to bring the Word of God, one of my favorite things to do every week. Before we dive in to this precious gift that we have, let's pray. God, we thank you for this moment that we have together. We may be scattered around in family rooms, living rooms, maybe even front or back porches this morning. But God, we are one body in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We declare today Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So today, God, we turn to your Word. We turn to your Word knowing that we will be built up, knowing, God, that this truth will lead us into fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, C.S. Lewis made this short yet profound statement. He said, "He who has God in everything has no more than he who has God alone." Well, this morning we continue our line-by-line journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as we continue to adopt the worldview of Jesus. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of life. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The words of Jesus. Have you noticed how the world spends a lot of time and money telling us how to spend our time and our money? Well, the world tells us that hey, life is going to be better. Life is going to make more sense if you just have more stuff, if you have newer stuff, if you have better stuff. The world says that if we spend our time and our money going to the right places, taking the right vacations, seeing the right movies, driving the right car, playing with the right toys, wearing the right clothes, investing in the right portfolios, that's going to make it all great. But this doesn't seem to be working. Not even in the world. See, more and more of the rich and the famous, they're miserable, even to the point of taking their own lives. King Solomon put it this way. He said, "Vanity. It's all vanity." So in this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 6, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus provides his perspective on the topic of money, possessions, time, and eternity. I've titled this message, "Invest Like Jesus." That's what I'm calling it. Invest like Jesus. Before we dive into kingdom investment strategies, let's talk. You see, I'm sensing and seeing that we're getting close to the end of this coronavirus crisis. What I mean is that I've been getting these gut feelings. These gut feelings. Say, and I wouldn't necessarily say that these are words from the Lord, so don't hear what I'm not saying. Let's just leave it at gut feeling level for right now. But on two occasions, my gut has told me that we need to be ready for our reunion back together here in the church. Like in the same room together in person. And I believe that if it's more than 3, definitely 4 weeks out, that I'm going to be shocked. My gut's telling me it's going to be sooner rather than later. And I feel as though we're getting close to getting back to normal. Isn't that what everyone wants? Let's just get back to normal. But I've been asking myself, when we get back to normal, what will our normal look like? What will our weekly schedule look like? Where will we spend our time and our resources when we get back to normal? Will our return to normal find us making different decisions, like investing more in the eternal than in the temporal? From the beginning of this social distancing, I've declared this to be a season of opportunity, and it has been. We've taken so much ground as the body of Christ, and I believe it's just the start of the opportunity that we have and will have because of this weird, crazy, peculiar virus season. See, we have amazing opportunities during the self-quarantine to do what? To invest in God stuff, to invest in God time. And I pray that you've been doing that and will continue to do that. We also have amazing opportunities when we relaunch, when we return to normal. Opportunities to invest in kingdom pursuits. And I pray that our return to normal will launch us into a new normal with new appreciation for God's grace, new appreciation for His love, new appreciation for His presence, and even new appreciation for His church, for one another. When we get back to normal, I hope we will fully appreciate and take advantage of the amazing gift of being together in one accord, in one place, in one spirit to worship the one living King. I hope that we see the immense blessing we have of being in God's presence as He inhabits the praises of His people. I hope we appreciate all God has given us, every opportunity to gather, to pray, to worship, like for real in person. See, I hope the new normal will find us leaving some things in the past, like leaving that rat race in the past, right, behind us, but also keeping some of the things that we've learned to enjoy and appreciate in this quarantine time, like eating meals with our family, taking walks with our spouse, learning the value of Sabbath rest and the joy of extended time with God in prayer and in His Word. Okay, so with all that in mind, let's get busy learning how to invest like Jesus. It's a perfect season to invest like Jesus. Jesus kicks it all off with a look at temporal treasures. Back to Matthew 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. I'm an investor. I don't know if you knew that. I'm an investor. See my serious face? It's my investor face. Actually, check this out. Anyway, whatever. Every single one of us is an investor. You're an investor. Every day, we're given the gift of life. We're given the gift of time. And often, we're given the gift of resources. God's also, though, given us the free will then to invest this time and these resources as we desire. So you're an investor, I'm an investor. And Jesus, wanting to help us be successful investors, is pointing out the reality that some investments are better than others. Some investments will have short-term gains or losses, while other opportunities will reap rewards and dividends forever. Forever. There's a difference in investments. And if we're going to invest like Jesus, then it starts with the ability to identify the quality of the investment. After all, the world is full of bad investments, short-sighted investments, investments that are here today, but then poof, right, they vanish. To quote the great theologian B.B. King, the thrill is gone. The thrill has gone away. That's how it feels with some investments, right? And so investing like Jesus, though, starts by understanding that the value of so many investments is limited, temporary, and short term. Hey, when you return to normal, even in this peculiar season that's anything but normal, will you settle for temporal? Will you abandon the gift afforded by this slower pace when we get back to normal? Will you walk away from the gift of connecting with your kids, of eating dinners together? Or will you dive into the rat race of carting them around to every single extracurricular activity under the sun? Did you know that we have a choice? We can choose our new normal. We can bring some of those amazing gifts that we've learned during this quarantine season. We can bring it forward with us in life. So in this sermon, Jesus opens our eyes to another investing secret. Are you ready to go? Let's look at some insider trading right here. You know, when we look in the Word of God, we're getting insider information. We're getting insider-like trading information. And it's legal to do. Well, in most countries it is anyway. But anyway, let's look at the second type of opportunity, investment opportunity that Jesus reveals to us. And that's eternal treasures. Those investments that produce long-term, forever and ever dividends. Let's get back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Come on now, did you just see what Jesus said there, what he did there? He said that we can actually store up treasures in heaven. He did. We can do things today that will actually influence our eternal experience. We can increase eternal blessings and rewards. What we do now with our money and our time can actually have eternal impact and produce eternal dividends. That's incredible and something that should make us like sit up and listen to what God is saying. I'm not making this stuff up now. Jesus just said it. We just read it right here. But we also see this same precept in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. You remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said that he would give half of his money to the poor and then pay back fourfold to those he'd cheated. And Jesus didn't respond to this by merely clicking the like button on social media. Oh, that's cool. That's cute, Zacchaeus. That's so cute. No. Jesus listened to what he said and he did, and Jesus responded and he said to this man, today salvation has come to this house. In other words, Jesus judged the reality of this man's salvation, his eternity, based on his eagerness to generously give his money for the glory of God and for the good of others right now. That's amazing. That's amazing. He rewards kingdom investments. Now, I know what we're talking about here might sound a little strange, possibly even offensive. Because after all, shouldn't everyone be entitled to the same eternal blessings and the same treatment from God? Well, in our unbiblical worldly thinking, the answer would be, yeah, we should all get the same thing. Eternity's going to be exactly the same, like socialistic eternity. But the Bible reveals that the way that we handle money, talents, and gifts that God's given us in this life matters greatly to God, and therefore, it will matter greatly in eternity, and yes, even affect our eternity. And so Jesus says that the person who invests their time and resources in the kingdom of God, invests in the things that are on God's heart, invests in the things that will affect eternity, that person will experience dividends in this life and in the life to come. In other words, how we invest today affects our tomorrow. Let me say that again. How we invest today, and I'm not just talking money, I'm talking our lives, our time, our talent. How we invest today affects our tomorrow. Here's an analogy. Now, I haven't said this in a while, but I used to be a basketball coach. I used to be a high school basketball coach. I love basketball. I think I'm a better coach than I was a player. But let me give this analogy. A basketball team that invests, works hard in practice, in doing drills, invests in conditioning, invests in doing the right things and the hard things, that team will experience dividends as the season progresses. This investment early on and continual investment will result in wins. It will result in rewards. It will result in trophies. It will result in their names being recorded in the record book for all time. Come on, isn't that what every red-blooded American boy wants, right? There really is a correlation. This is just how things work. And yes, Jesus is telling us that the same is true in God's economy. Randy Alcorn has a great book on this topic called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. And here's a quote from his book. How we view our money and possessions is of the utmost importance. What we do with our money will, and I choose these words deliberately, Alcorn says, what we do with our money will influence the very course of our eternity. Well, let's jump to the third secret of investing like Jesus. Are you ready to go? Investment secret number three, insider trading secret number three, our investments reveal our heart. Back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've heard that. You know that. You can quote that. Jesus is saying that we can tell the condition of our heart, what our heart is really given to based on where we spend our time and where we spend our money, our resources. And the Apostle James, he put it this way. James chapter 2, verse 18. He says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you my faith, James is saying, by what I invest in. It's like the Lord is saying this to us. He's like saying, dude. All right, he might not be saying dude, although dude is kind of like brother, and we see brother in the Word of God. But anyway, God could be saying, hey, brother, hey, dude, hey. But anyway, you say your heart is given to God? Well, let's see, because I can show you your heart for God by how you spend your time and money. And so Jesus is actually giving us a way of testing the condition of our hearts. And rest assured, the condition of our hearts is very important to the Lord. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, right in the same Sermon on the Mount, when we started off and we read this amazing statement, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will be the ones who see God. All right, I want to get up close and personal here. Jesus is saying that we will see the condition of our hearts when we hold up our bank account or bank statements. That we'll understand the condition of our hearts when we hold up our calendars and our to-do lists. These things are going to reveal what we truly have given our lives to. And I know that's beginning to hit close to home, but isn't that what we want from the Lord? Don't we need and don't we want God to get like up close and personal with us, to challenge us, to change us, to lead us into fullness of life? We need God to help us make wise investments. And so Jesus continues. He continues on this theme by stating in Matthew 6, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And to cover this precept, I'm going to turn to Charles Spurgeon. He ties this statement really together beautifully in what we're talking about this morning. Spurgeon says, the term eye may also refer to the heart. For in some sense, the heart is the eye of the soul. The affections turn the man in a certain direction. And where the affections go, the eye is turned. There is such a connection between the heart and the eye of man that well might this text have such a reference. If the affections are pure, the man will be pure. But if the affections themselves are perverted, debased, degraded, we need not marvel that the man's whole life should be degraded, debased, and filthy too. Getting right to the point there, Spurgeon. Before we dive into the fourth and the final point, I'd like to pose an important question. How is this peculiar season affecting the condition of your heart? I mean, if you sit back and you really look, like for real, how is this season changing your heart? How is it affecting your heart? Or maybe this, how is this peculiar season, what is it revealing is really in your heart? Take some time, think about it. All right, we're in the fourth and the final point. It's actually a question. Point number four, where will you invest your treasure? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, let's go. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You see, Jesus is clearly stating that we can't have it both ways. And I know that can be frustrating. Some things you can have both ways, but in this case, you can't have it both ways. An hour is an hour. It can be spent on the pursuit of temporal things or on the pursuit of eternal things. A dollar is a dollar. Just happen to have one right here. A dollar is a dollar. It can either be spent on temporal things or it can be invested in things that will impact eternity. So I got this dollar bill, and I'm going to head back and I'm going to look at this inside this basket that you've probably been looking at this whole sermon going, why does he have a basket on a table behind him? Well, let's make sense out of it right now. I can put this dollar in one of two places. I can invest it in one of two places. That's it, one of two. The first place I could invest it in is in the temporal. I could put it right in there and say, that's what I'm doing with my life. That's what I'm doing with my time. That's what I'm doing with my resources. But I have another choice, Jesus said. I can invest it in this place called eternity. I can invest this dollar. I can invest this life. I can invest these words, this breath that God's given me, these talents that He's given me, this time that He's given me. I can invest it over here in the eternal. Now look at this. It's got to go in one of the two. It can't go in either one. It just doesn't work that way. Come on, you got to make up your mind. You can say, well, I can just tear it in half and put half in here and half in there. You can't do that. You tear this dollar bill in half, it's worthless. It's got to go in one of two places. Here's where I suggest we put it. Let's put our lives right here in the eternal. In the eternal. Amen? Amen. You make the call. Where will you invest? Where will you invest? How we spend our money, the utmost important. How we spend our time will affect eternity. So I want to circle back to a question I asked earlier. When you return to normal, what will it look like? What will you invest in? Will anything change? How will you take advantage of this relaunch, this reset opportunity? I encourage you to spend some time today, even today, talking to the Lord about this. I encourage you, get away, take a walk with God today. Probably after the sun goes down, it really cools down nicely still. Take a walk and spend some time allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, to highlight, and to guide you into a new normal, into a normal that's spent making investments in eternity. Well, hey, at this time, I want to talk to those who are engaging with this online message who maybe are wondering, why have I been watching this guy preach? You know, I'm not even a Jesus follower. I'm just been kind of doing my own thing. Well, I want to say it's no accident that you've been engaging with this message this morning or today, whatever time it is you're watching it. It's no accident because God is drawing you to Himself. Do you know that you're on His radar and He's drawing you to Himself? I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord today. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to walking into a whole new life that's found in His Son, Jesus. If you're ready to do that, I encourage you to make some statements of faith after me. You can repeat these statements after me. They're statements of faith, believe me. We don't have it all figured out. We all need to walk by faith. But if you're ready to step out of walking the old way and to go into a whole new normal of walking by faith and walking with Jesus and walking as a child of God, make these statements of faith after me, even right now. Just say, Jesus, I need You. I'm tired of the old normal. I need a new normal. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. And so today, Jesus, I choose to follow You. I declare by faith that You are the Son of God. I declare by faith today that You are the risen Savior of the world. And from that understanding and from that place of faith, I ask that You would forgive me, Jesus, for my sins. I repent right now of my past. Today I choose You, Jesus. Would You please come into my life? Would you please change me? Would you please make me new? Today, I move into a new normal. I am a follower of Jesus. And I make these statements because of and in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Well, hey, if you prayed that prayer, I'm rejoicing right now. I'm rejoicing because you took a step of faith, into a new normal, into a new life that's found only in and through Jesus, the Son of God. I'm rejoicing with you. The angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. We want to make sure that we connect with you. You're going to hear in just a little bit how you can connect with us, how we can connect with you and walk you into the next season, the eternity of your life. Church, I love you and I pray for you. I thank God for you and I long for our reunion and our launch back into our new normal together. Be blessed.